Welcome to church this Good Friday, and I want to especially welcome you if you're joining us maybe for the first time, or you only drop in from time to time, maybe as part of your Easter practice. Maybe you're here as a favour to a family member. Whatever it is that brings you here today, we're glad you're here. My name's Alan. I'm the Senior Minister here at St. James, and you're welcome. I hope you'll be able to stay on afterwards and meet me in person here at the Welcome Flag and join us for some morning tea. Have you ever been a saviour? I have, obviously. So have you, probably. Certainly if you're a parent. I remember, well, many years ago, our now oldest child, who's an adult, she might have been, I don't know, 9 months old. She was a baby and she loved cheese. And I remember her sitting on my knee, eating a little cube of cheese, and it went down and got stuck in her throat. Kid stopped breathing. I thought, what should I do? This is not to be taken as medical advice. What am I? I flipped the child over, grabbed her by her ankles. I shook like this. Out popped the cheese. Turned her back over. She didn't seem distressed. She grabbed the cheese and kept eating. Saved a life. I'm a saviour. I fast forward maybe 10 years. This time it's our youngest child I'm thinking of, my son. We were on holidays at the beach up the coast. He was in the water. And it wasn't super deep, but, you know, he was maybe 7 years old. Anyway, he got into a rip just near the edge of the... And he was trying to get out and he couldn't make his way to shore. I'm not a great swimmer, but I kind of waded across. It might have been about chest deep, and I managed. It was hard work, harder than I thought. After some struggle and exhaustion, I managed to get us both onto the sand. I know the stakes were real, because when we got back to the beach, there was a lifeguard standing there scowling at me. Saved his life. I saved my son's life. I'm a saviour. Let me give you one final one. This is, depending on what stage of life you're at, this will resonate. Fast forward another 10 years from that, same child. He was on his L's. I'm the passenger. I'm teaching him how to drive. We come shooting up a ramp. We turn left onto Centenary Drive. And he misjudges the angle. It's at night. We mount the median strip. We are heading for a pole. I reach over, yank the wheel. We swerve back onto the road, going so close hitting this pole that it smashed off the wing mirror. And the evidence is still on my car to this day. A saviour. A saviour. Obviously, in church context, we use the word saviour and we almost use it like it's some sort of technical religious word. But a saviour just means someone who saves others. You might have been a saviour here and there in your life. Modern saviours are people like these guys. One of the reasons that people love this show is because people are getting rescued. There's saviours involved. And the question for us as we gather on Good Friday is, why do we call Jesus a saviour? Well, long before Good Friday, Jesus was known as a saviour in the Bondi Rescue sense of the word, as someone who rescued people from terrible threat. He saved people from life-threatening illness. He saved people from terrible pain. He saved people from disability. Here's a summary from early in Matthew's Gospel, his biography of Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those who were suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. He was a saviour. It's what he became known for. He saved his disciples from drowning. A little later in that same biography, Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us." This is long before Good Friday. Save us. We're going to drown. Most astonishingly of all, Jesus saved people from death. There was one incident where a little girl had died. Her parents were heartbroken. And we read, after the crowd had been put outside, Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. A saviour. A saviour. And it's because Jesus was known as a saviour in that Bondi Rescue sense that the events of Good Friday were so shocking, so baffling for people to see him in that situation where he himself needed saving and yet found himself without a saviour for himself. The events of Good Friday are the picture of a rescuer going unrescued. And the witnesses who are hostile to Jesus nevertheless see the irony of the situation. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. Why does Jesus go unsaved, by the way? These are familiar events. Why does he go unsaved? For such a popular figure, it does seem striking that nobody seems to lift a finger to save Jesus. It'd be like seeing one of the Bondi Rescue lifeguards drifting further and further out to sea and starting to go under the waves and to have their fellow lifeguards just standing on the beach dithering. Where were all the disciples? The last we heard of them was at Jesus' arrest. Matthew records, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. And they're still lying low the following day as Jesus is crucified. But maybe a bigger question that I dare say some would have been wondering is, why doesn't God intervene? This is a great teacher, some sort of prophet. Jesus is a Jewish man. This is happening in a Jewish society. And they knew from the scriptures, what we would call the Old Testament, that God will intervene to rescue those who are faithful to him. They knew this from the story of Noah. They knew this from the book of Daniel. They knew this from the life story of King David, these ones who find themselves in deadly peril, and God intervenes to save. What about this one? And so they say, he trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the one who actually puts this question most starkly of all is Jesus himself. I think these are the most frightening words in the whole Bible. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus on Good Friday seems plainly to be a man whose career as a saviour has come to an end. And that seems a reasonable conclusion to draw, as the hecklers point out. The most basic human instinct, surely, is self-preservation. This man would save himself if he could. But there's more to the story. There's more to the story than those witnesses are aware of. But if we've been reading through this document, Matthew's biography of Jesus, we see clues. Jesus seems, for example, deliberately to have put himself in harm's way. Sometime earlier, we read, Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, to be mocked and flogged and crucified. What does this mean about Jesus' inability to save himself? Or again, there's Jesus' behaviour at dinner on the night before Good Friday. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." What does this say about Jesus' inability to save himself? And then in the drama of his actual arrest, we read, "Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, 'The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.' Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. Jesus replied, 'Do what you came for, friend.'" What does that suggest to us about Jesus' inability to save himself? And in fact, his friends, to their credit, didn't give up totally without resistance. They didn't just stand on the beach and watch their leader go under the waves. It was Jesus himself who blocked their attempts to rescue him. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword." What does this say to us about Jesus' inability to save himself? And even, perhaps most remarkably of all, it seems to be Jesus who determines that God will not intervene. "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will put at once at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say that it must happen in this way?" It's a mysterious thing to say. Jesus hints that there's some greater story unfolding here. A story greater than just the Bondi rescue dimension of it. And in that greater story, you are involved, even as you sit here this Good Friday. Now, why do I say that? What might you need saving from? Well, you may need saving in the Bondi rescue sense. Or you may need saving from the things that just cast a shadow across your life. You may feel like you need saving from financial distress or loneliness or a difficult marriage or a chronic health condition or terrible anxiety. You may feel the reality of needing saving from those things. But just as Good Friday suggests Jesus is a different sort of saviour from the Bondi rescue saviour, it hints that maybe you need saving from something even greater than those things. Why did Jesus collude in his own arrest and obstruct attempts to save him and resist even deliverance from God? It makes sense, of course, on Easter Day. I'll see you the day after tomorrow. But even here on Good Friday, there are hints that point to the larger story that Jesus refers to. We heard, "When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Meaning what? The heavy veil in the temple, which separated people from access to God, is done away with. The way is made open for people, any people, all people, to encounter God himself. not through the rituals of the Jewish temple, but somehow through the death of Jesus happening nearby. Moreover, we heard this: the tombs broke open and the body of many holy people who had died were raised to life. In other words, somehow the moment when Jesus dies is not a triumphant moment for death, the moment when the ultimate Bondi rescue style saviour finally meets his end. The moment Jesus dies is a moment when death itself is somehow overwhelmed, a moment when even graves start to become unnecessary. That's the hint we get there. The answer to Jesus' terrible question about God-forsakenness begins immediately. Why would God forsake the Saviour only in order to save? Only in order to save. To bring access to God, to overwhelm death itself. That's why. And this is of such urgent relevance to every one of us. This is of urgent relevance to you. You may not need saving in the way that initially made people think of Jesus as a saviour. A storm at sea. Illness, danger. But if there is a curtain between you and God, and your life with all its ups and downs is lived on this side of that curtain, then you need a saviour. And if I can put it this way, if in a strange way, perhaps there was a time when you were a committed Christian person, but the reversals of life and various heartbreaks, maybe you feel that you've drawn that curtain closed. If that's you, then you need a saviour. And if, like everyone in this room, even including the tiny little ones whose voices we hear, if one day there'll be a tomb or a grave or a plaque with your name on it and the two dates, the date your life began and the date your life ended, if one day there'll be a plaque like that, then you need a saviour. And Jesus is the saviour, because he is the only one who can tear that curtain open so that you have open access to God's welcoming arms and his smiling face and his love towards you. Jesus is the saviour for that reason. And he's the saviour because he's the only one who can approach your grave and call out your name and call you out of it. Jesus is the saviour. And this he does, but only at the cost of his arrest, the cost of his abandonment, the cost of his death. And it's because of Good Friday that we need never doubt either the scale of our problem or the magnitude of God's great love for us, or the wonderful fact that we have a Saviour. Let me lead us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have opened the way, that you have overcome death, that in Jesus we have a Saviour. Amen.